I'm Austin Meek with WacoBusinessNews.com, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. 2018 is poised to be a banner year for the Waco area, so I wanted to bring in an expert to discuss what the next 12 months might have in store for Central Texas. Chris Collins, Senior Vice President of Economic Development for the Greater Waco Chamber, joins me to discuss our economy that continues to grow and the terrific resources that are available to all you small business owners out there. But first, it's the word on the street. I've heard it said that when man plans, God laughs. So I figured I'd provide a little entertainment for you and make three predictions for this upcoming year. Prediction number one, Waco will be lit. I heard Jason Cook, VP of Marketing and Communications for Baylor, speak a couple weeks ago about the school's branding effort to bring more light to Waco, both literally and metaphorically. And that pairs nicely with the TIF board's recent recommendation of $2.1 million in funding for decorative LED lighting. This illumination would go toward four future I-35 underpasses at MLK, University Parks, 4th and 5th Streets, and 11th and 12th Streets. Creative Waco's been holding meetings with citizens about the opportunity for public art in these new underpasses, and the success of the Brazos River lights paved the way for replicating the concept. In 2018, you should see more light spilling out on both sides of the highway. Prediction number two, chef-driven concepts take hold. Waco has a few fabulous restaurants, but the culinary savants are usually stuck in the back of the house. In 2018, you'll not only be treated to new and unusual cuisine, but you'll also know the name of the person making it, with open kitchen concepts becoming in vogue. Chef Corey McIntyre, who's gained fame for his upscale farm-to-table dinners, will open Milo All Day at 11th and Franklin. Lucra Real Estate's Union Hall, the food hall coming to Franklin, will provide a ton of variety, flavors that have never been offered before in Waco. When the food scene as a whole trends more gourmet, the necessity for restaurants to differentiate themselves becomes even more pointed, and chefs with strong panache or signature dishes will separate themselves from the pack. Prediction number three, co-working becomes common. By 2020, it's predicted that 40% of the workforce will be freelancers, temps, independent contractors, and solopreneurs. And a couple local groups are jumping in on the trend. Downtown Depot guest Marshall Stuman is soon to open Waco Work, a collaborative workspace that offers mail service, conference rooms, and event space at the corner of 6th and Columbus. Startup Waco, a new initiative from the Chamber, has secured a building downtown as the group continues to build out the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Waco. They'll not only offer workspace, but also mentorship and access to capital. Suffice it to say, it's a good time indeed to live, work, and play in downtown Waco. Chris Collins began working for the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce in 2005 and now serves as its Senior Vice President of Economic Development, a position she has held since 2013. She now joins us as my first Downtown Depot guest of 2018. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about your history in Waco?
Sure. I moved to Waco in 1992 with my parents from the Beaumont, Port Arthur area. Went to Conley High School, graduated in 96, left to go to college. Didn't have an intention of coming back to Waco. Ended up coming back, married a Waco boy, and we're here.
So what was the reason that brought you back to Waco?
Family brought me back. My dad had been sick. And so after my husband and I got married, he was ill. And I just said, I want to go home. And that's where we landed. So started with the Chamber in 2005 and have been there in May. It'll be 13 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The city has changed a lot since 2005.
The city's changed a lot since 1996 when I left the first time. I mean, it's unbelievable. I was telling somebody, I said, you know, if my 18-year-old self now could see how Waco was, I might not have left the first time, you know, if it had been the way that it is now back then. So it's been pretty cool to see how things have changed over time.
And you've now been at the Chamber, like you said, for almost 13 years. For our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with what the Chamber does and what it offers, can you give us an explanation for why the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce exists?
Sure. So the Chamber has actually been in existence as the Waco Chamber of Commerce since 1916. It's a very old institution within the community. And what we're focused on, a couple of different areas. We focus on how to help businesses grow through developing relationships with one another, through economic development, which is one of the departments there. We focus on how do we help be a catalyst to help grow the economy. We do that through the support of our existing businesses and as well as the attraction of new businesses to the area. And then we have a public policy division, too, that focuses on maintaining positive relationships with our elected officials, both at the state and national, even the local level, too, so that we can be an advocate for business at all levels.
And when you say being an advocate for business at all levels, what does that advocacy look like?
So we're constantly paying attention to different pieces of legislation that are being proposed and doing an analysis of it to see how does that impact our local economy and how will it impact our local businesses. And if it's something that has the potential of being harmful, we definitely let our elected officials know why we don't support something. But if something else is really has the potential of being really positive for our local businesses, then we're out there advocating for it as well.
You lead the economic development team for the Chamber. What exactly is encompassed in that role?
Sure. So economic development is about creating prosperity for all. And it's about helping create prosperity for our local businesses. And it's about creating prosperity for the citizens. And so our job in economic development is about attracting talent, about attracting capital to the community, creating opportunities for people. I think one of the best ways, because it's kind of this ambiguous thing out there. And my kid sums it up pretty well. When somebody says, "What's your mom do?" And he says, "She helps create jobs for people." And I think that's probably the best thing to do. I mean, I always wanted to have a job where I felt like I was giving back to my community in some way. And what better way to give back than to help somebody create an opportunity for themselves? We, as economic developers, don't create jobs. Businesses create jobs. But we can be a catalyst to help businesses have better opportunities for job growth. So if it means that we help them reduce their taxes because they're making a capital investment, that frees up more dollars for them to either pay a higher wage or to create more bodies at their workplace, I mean, those are things that ultimately help everybody.
Well, and in helping everybody and being an advocate for all, you guys are bringing in jobs for both blue and white collar.
Correct.
And that's an important part in generating the forward momentum that we've had here in Waco. And we've experienced a lot of growth over the last few years, and the trajectory is pointing upward.
Most definitely. We've had significant growth in this community. I mean, you and I were at the Economic Index presentation a couple months ago now. Mm-hmm. And one of the really great things is that the community since like 2013 has grown over 25%. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, we're talking as a nation about having 3% growth of our economy. And here we are in Waco, we're having over 5% growth on an annual basis. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Wow. And how much of that is sort of Waco catching up from maybe lagging in the past?
You know, we've always been a really steady economy where we've had about 2% growth. But I think that Waco's kind of coming into its own too. So maybe we've been a little bit behind the curve and there's been some catch up there. But at the same time, I think that people are realizing that this is a great place to live, work, and play, and that this is a community that you can be successful in. And so we're starting to attract more and more different types of businesses to this community and different individuals too. So it's not just about the companies that are coming here, it's about the people that are coming here too.
When you're talking to a business leader from outside of Waco trying to convince them to move their operations here, What is that pitch? How does that go? Can you kind of walk me through that conversation?
Yeah, I think every one of them is different. I mean, because it's really about listening to the needs of what that particular business has. There's a reason they're either that they're expanding and that they're looking beyond their own backyard to do that. Or that they're displeased with the community that they're in and they're looking to relocate their business to another place. So it's really about customizing that pitch. But it's not just a pitch. It's a genuine piece of our community. Is how do we meet the needs of those particular businesses and demonstrate that we have everything that they need, that they're going to be successful here. So, you know, there's a company that we're working with now, and they're displeased with their state government and that it's not a business-friendly place. It's becoming too expensive to do business. And so, you know, we want to be able to showcase the affordability of the community, not just for the business, but for the citizens too, that and for their employees. We want to demonstrate that we have the training assets that are available and that they're going to have a long, steady pipeline of workers available to meet their needs, that this is a community of innovation too. So as they work to diversify their business, then we have different partners that are available to help them too, with Baylor and the Brick. It's really showcasing all of the attributes that Waco has to offer. And it's a really strong pitch. I think we've been really successful.
The Civic Center is a project led by former Chamber employee Chris McGowan and DFW developer Philip Williams. They're planning to bring a little more than 500,000 square feet of office space to downtown Waco. Is a lack of Class A, or is a potential for there being more Class A, something that comes up in conversations with potential companies that are coming to Waco?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we're working to grow and diversify the economy, one of the areas that we know we're going to have to focus on is the knowledge-based economy. And
so what does that mean exactly?
So you have a blue collar economy that is out there physically making things, and a knowledge based economy that is more focused on they could be anywhere, but it's more of mental work than anything else. So you have architects and engineers and computer programmers and accounting firms, where it's more service industry related than a physical hard product that they're manufacturing. Okay. And that requires a different type of space. We've had a lot of success in industrial business, but one area that we really want to focus on is professional business services. And how do we create more of that? Well, one piece, we have some great resources with Baylor and with TSTC and MCC from a talent perspective, but they have to have a physical space to go into. And that's something that we're definitely lacking within our community. And so projects like the Civic Center offer a lot of opportunity to bring in some new businesses and to help some existing companies grow. I think that's one thing that we see as a challenge too, is if a existing company in the professional world wants to expand, there's not always the space available to help them do that. And that becomes a challenge. So then they start looking at different markets. And the last thing that we want is for them to leave because they don't have the space they need to grow.
Well, and that's a point that Mayor Kyle Deaver made when, you know, they were talking about, we're going to have 500,000 square feet of office space here. We can bring in all these other local businesses. And he said, you know, that's kind of just reshuffling the deck. And that's not really very helpful if someone's moving from Valley Mills over to your place. It is important that we have additional businesses that want to come to Waco and they want to expand and grow here. But that 500,000 number, Chris, that sounds so big.
It sounds big, but I think one thing that you have to remember is that's going to be over time, and it's going to be in phases. It's not like a 500,000 square feet is just going to land in the market just like that. I mean, it's going to happen over a number of years. And I think that the way that Civic Center has it planned is very thoughtful, and that it will be done in a way that doesn't saturate the market, but it complements the growth of the market.
Well, having prime office space is just one component of a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem. the entrepreneurs need places to go. And, you know, Jake Cockrell, he's the manager of entrepreneurship and innovation for the Chamber. He's been one of the forefront leaders of getting 1 Million Cups off the ground, which, if any listeners aren't aware, 1 Million Cups is an event that happens at the Waco Hippodrome on Wednesday mornings. There'll be an entrepreneur who shares their story, and they get feedback from the community. Listeners get to say, hey, this is what I love about what we're doing. This is what I have an issue with. What sort of return has the Chamber seen on that investment in Jake specifically, but in 1 Million Cups in general? And what are the Chamber's plans for pushing forward entrepreneurship in Waco in 2018?
Sure. Well, I think that it's not just the Chamber that's been focused on entrepreneurship. There's a lot of organizations out there that we're working in partnership to make that happen too. So with Kevin Renoir and the and his organization,
City Center Waco.
With City Center Waco, mm-hmm. but it's City Venture is his group. And then working in collaboration with the Small Business Development Center and along with Launch out at the Brick. I mean, there are lots of partners out there. And what we've been working on over the last year is really establishing a community-based partnership related to entrepreneurship and innovation. And I think one thing that you'll see this coming year is the establishment of a full-out community-based partnership called Startup Waco. It'll be an umbrella organization focused on bringing together all of the partners of the community that are focused in this area, and then also working to fill the gaps that we've identified. So we know for sure that there's a funding gap and access to capital that is not here. The Baylor Angel Network is great, but their focus is one area, and we can push people into that area, but it won't fill all of the gaps. And so how do we bring together potential investors within the community so that as a new startup is looking for capital, that we can get them access to that, to the different resources that they need to be successful. So that's one thing that you're going to see coming in 2018. They've identified a space in the downtown area for co-working, which will be great too, and complement what's been going on over on Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's with Marshall Stueman's Waco Work.
Yep. So I think that those won't be competing, that they'll be complementing each other.
I always say this when people are bringing in a competing business or if somebody, you know, does something that step on my toes. I want to live in a city that has two great co-working spaces.
Yeah.
That's not too much to ask.
No, and it's not. I think between that and Maker's Edge, what they're doing, there's some really cool things that are happening in this community that are supporting a very diverse group of entrepreneurs. So it's not just about somebody hacking away at their computer at a coffee shop. It's about having a space where you can bring together people, like-minded individuals to share ideas and to create new opportunities for each other. So we're really excited about what's happening in the entrepreneurial world. Jake is actually leaving the Chamber. I think his last day was actually the very end of 2017, because he's going to go off and explore his own entrepreneurial endeavors. And so we're excited for him. We're going to be backfilling that position and know that we're a partner in this with a lot of different people. But we're excited about what the year has in store for us.
You're hearing from Chris Collins, the Senior VP of Economic Development for the Greater Waco Chamber. How do you personally sort of balance that tug from the private sector, staying in your current position? How does a public servant like yourself manage those expectations that come along with your job?
That's a good question. I love my job. I love this community and believe in the work that I do and that my team does every day. And, if not for the private sector, I wouldn't have a job either. And then if not for the elected officials that are willing to get out there and support the things that we're doing, we wouldn't have a job either. So there's a balance. You have to work in tandem with everybody. We work to be the advocates for business, And to keep our local officials educated into what are the needs of business so that as they're making decisions that affect the entire community, they're hearing the voice of both sides. And I think that that helps them as well. So we really try to bring multiple voices to the table so that all voices are heard.
The Chamber had a few key industries for economic development that they were targeting: advanced manufacturing, aerospace and defense, healthcare, professional and financial services, and supply chain management. Are those still currently the initiatives that the Chamber is pursuing, or have you guys shifted at all?
Yeah, those are definitely still our target industries. We did a great couple of projects last semester with some Baylor students going through a consulting class. And one of the things that I asked them to do was to go through and look at our target industries and see if they were still on target for us, if we needed to shift or pivot. And for the most part, the things that we were focused on were things that they felt we should continue to look at. They actually did some analysis for us and found some things, some niches within those particular areas that we should focus on. But for the most part, they said that everything was on target. And one of the reasons that we've chosen those is because we already have a lot of focus in those particular areas. So for instance, we have over 30 aviation-related businesses within the greater Waco area. And that equates to over 3,000 employees and about $1 billion a year of economic impact to the community.
Wow.
So those are really high-paying, skilled positions. We have some great training resources within the community from a talent pipeline perspective, too. So we think that we have a lot of the resources available for continued growth in that area. And that's kind of the approach that we've taken in all of those different sectors, is to say, what are the resources we have? What are the assets that are already in place? And can we sustain additional growth in those areas? And are they do they create jobs that have wages that are higher than average for the market, too? Because what we don't want to focus on is jobs that don't create a ladder of opportunity for people. So that's why those are the target areas that we focus on.
Well, I love hearing that you have made a focus, that focus has brought success, and you recognize that and you're doubling down in the efforts to continue that. I mean, Andy Ratcliffe from Wealthfront has this great phrase where basically the more success – you learn more from success than you learn from failure. And that if something's working, more of that thing is probably going to work. You could spend all day trying to have a better version of failure, but ultimately it's still failure. So you pinpoint what works. In this case, it has been aerospace, and you continue on that path. I noticed something when looking up your credentials that you have a executive director title for the McLennan County Spaceport Development Corporation.
Right.
That sounds like it's on Mars. I assume it has something to do with SpaceX. What is that?
In 2015, we formed the McLennan County Spaceport Development Corporation, and basically it's an organization required by the state of Texas for communities that are looking to grow their commercial space industry and that want to tap into some state resources, particularly the Texas Spaceport Trust Fund. And so this is a fund that is housed within the Office of the Governor, and it allows a company that has reusable rocket capabilities to tap into for infrastructure development within their particular business zone or within their community. And so when we formed, we were the third in the state of Texas. Midland, Odessa has one, and so does Brownsville in the South Texas in the Boca Chica area, where SpaceX is developing their launch facility. So with SpaceX being here, there's an opportunity for additional infrastructure growth in at their launch or their rocket development facility. But then what we're looking at as well is what are the other assets that we have available within the community to grow the commercial space industry? Because we see that there's a significant opportunity. I mean, it's really just in its infancy. And when you think about how that could potentially transform economic development and communities, it's a lot of there's a lot of potential out there. And we think that we have some great assets to capitalize on that. A lot of people don't know, but when the space shuttle was still in was still active, TSTC was actually an alternative landing site for that for its with its airport. L3 has been doing some work in the commercial space arena as well. So they worked with Virgin Galactic on their on one of their planes. So there's a lot of knowledge within our community related to the aerospace industry. And so we think that there's a potential for growth there. That's one of those areas that you could diversify under the aerospace and defense is looking at the commercial space industry and saying, okay, what are the resources that we have here? Baylor has been doing some really interesting work, Casper with Dr. Hyde and his team out at BRIC, too, have been focused on for a number of years different aspects of the space industry. And so we think that there's some potential there. And it's centralized within the state of Texas, too. So that creates a great opportunity for further commercialization.
The big bonus in Waco is the location.
Yeah, always.
It's hard to beat, you know, being within 3-hour driving distance of 18 million people.
Yeah.
So I'll get you out of here on this, Chris. 2017 had a ton of highs for the city of Waco. When you're looking into 2018, whether it's the housing market that's continuing to grow or whether it's tourism still continuing post-fixer-upper, what are you personally most looking forward to about 2018 as it happens in the economic world of Waco?
I think for me, there have been a lot of projects that we've been working on in a lot of diverse industries, and I'm excited about what 2018 has in store for us. Right now, we have a pipeline of about $450 million worth of projects that we're working on, and if every one of those hit, it would be unbelievable. But I think that that this is going to be a really strong year for us in industrial business growth, and with that, there's a spinoff effect that happens. So with every individual primary sector job that's created, so it's a job that brings new money into the market, there are spinoff jobs that are created with retail and service industries and all these other areas. And so I think that if the growth that we're seeing, the potential growth in the industrial sector happens the way that we think that it's going to, it's going to have an amazing effect on this community in spinoff. And I think everybody should just stay tuned because 2018 is going to be a great year.
Chris Collins, Senior Vice President of Economic Development for the Greater Waco Chamber, bringing the heat here as my first guest of Downtown Depot in 2018. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for letting me be your first guest for 2018.
It was a pleasure.
All right, thanks.
Happy New Year to you all, and thanks for following us to our new time slot at 11:30 a.m. or for listening and downloading on Apple Podcasts, NPR One, and WacoBusinessNews.com. I've got a ton of awesome coverage headed your way in 2018, with more articles and video coming to the site. So be sure you're following at Waco Business News on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to keep up with what's happening in your town. I'm Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.